The Joy Unleashed show empowers and inspires women to reclaim their joy. We provide tools, resources, and connections to help you unlock your true potential through engaging conversations, expert insights, and transformative stories. We create a vibrant and inclusive community where women can break free from the limitations that hold them back. I'm Joyologist Colleen Greco, and it is my honor to be your host. Let's get right into the show. If you feel like you're stuck, if you feel like you don't quite know your purpose, or maybe you know it, but you just can't find the path toward it. If you're uncomfortable in your own skin and want to finally master self-love, then we need to talk. I'm Colleen Greco, and I'm your Joyologist. I help women just like you to reclaim the joy they feel is missing in their life through mindset coaching and nutrition coaching. Whether you have weight to lose or simply need to get your gut in check, I've got you. We'll work together to retire limiting beliefs. Those are the stories that are keeping you from your purpose. I need you to hear me. Those are the stories that we need to get rid of in order to get you on your path to your purpose. We will work together to get you that life you've always dreamed of. It would be my honor to connect with you. Reach out to me via Instagram at @ColleenGreco or email Colleen@ColleenGreco.com. Let's get you back to the show. Welcome back to another episode of Joy Unleashed. I'm your humble host and resident joyologist, Colleen Greco. And today I am so excited to welcome Sandhya Gokul to the show. Sandhya, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you're on the show today.
Thank you so much, Colleen. I'm so excited.
Thank you. Okay, so let's dive into it. Tell my listeners, who is Sandhya? What are you doing here today?
Okay, so I'm a pharmacist and a healthy eating coach. I work to make healthy eating so fun it becomes a superpower and just make it so that it just becomes impossible to do. I've got 12 years experience working with people in the healthy eating space, and I love, love, love food, so which makes it really fun to work with food in general. So that's what I'm doing here today. I'm so excited to have a conversation about how joy can really change your healthy eating habits and healthy eating journey. So just, yeah, get into it.
Awesome. Okay. We'll do a little get into it dance. So first of all, I will forget to ask you this, so I'm just going to do it now. How do you define joy? What brings you joy on the daily? Give us a little insight into, you personally, what brings you joy?
So a lot of things bring me joy, but I really love, I think just anything that makes me be able to be present in the moment, that's really how I define joy. Just being in the zone and really experiencing all the moments that come with life. And I think joy is such a fun thing because you can find it in the funniest places. You can find it in the smallest moments. Right now, for example, my most joyous moment is watching my one-year-old daughter. She's learned how to give cuddles. And so you just put your arms out and she comes and you, I'm just like, oh my God, my heart is melting. But those moments, I don't think, you can't really contrive them. They're just really authentic and they're just spontaneous and you just get a laugh out of them. So that's joy for me.
Now, I was sharing before we started that what in a roundabout way brought me joy was the discussion with my son and how he blew all the money that we gave him this weekend. And now he has no money for gas. But it brings me joy because he owns who he is. He knows he's a train wreck when it comes to money and he knows it. He's okay with it. Now we're not. So we have to close that divide, but that's okay, right? We just kind of own who we are and we move on.
I love that. That's great.
So tell me, this is a very emotional topic, food, healthy eating, right? And there are so many people that do it wrong. There are so many people that coach it wrong and gimmicks and pills and shakes and more books than you can even imagine. Tell me how you make healthy eating fun. You obviously, there's a gamification aspect to it. So let's dive into, kind of how that's structured and maybe some of the psychology behind it.
Yeah. Okay. So the way I do it is I like using people's individual fun styles and connecting that with healthy eating to make it like a game. So it's pretty well known that gamification is a really great technique to use in anything really to make it more appealing. But the way I like to do it is actually use people's individual personalized game styles. And the why that works is because everyone loves playing a game. Everyone loves winning. Like, I've never met someone who's like, no, I'm only in it to lose. So, well, kind of like weight loss maybe, but yeah.
Unintended.
Exactly. And so what I do is I analyze what kind of games they like, and then I look at the elements that make that really fun for them and make it a really joyous experience. And then we start applying that to their healthy eating journey and making it like an individualized game for them. And what I found is people really respond to that, because even if you make a mistake in the healthy eating space, which is really common, and it can make you feel like a little bit of like a failure. And what I found is people really respond to that, because when you make it a game, it really disconnects you a little bit from the result. And in those kind of cases, when, for example, you've had a day where you haven't really eaten that healthy and you just need to step back a little bit and look at what you've eaten in a really kind of objective way, it becomes a lot easier if it's a game, because you're not as connected to the result and you don't feel like you're a failure. You might feel like, hey, I lost today, but it's a lot easier to move on from that. And so that's what I found with my clients. It's so much easier for them to move past the whole idea of failing healthy eating, which is really common, unfortunately, with the healthy eating space, because you can't not eat. You can't take a break from that. And sometimes that can be really disheartening as well. So making it a game just takes away a lot of that failing element. And I think that really helps, I guess, bring an element of fun to it, because you are able to move past anything that you might not have done as well. And the next day becomes a new game. You can try again, and you always have the option of winning that day. So I think that's what really makes a difference.
I love it. Now, to be honest, there is a scarcity mindset associated with, you know, dieting and healthy living. And I actually don't like the diet term, but I'm just using it to, you know, kind of wrap people's head around the topic. But people get into a scarcity mindset. And my clients are always like, well, can I do this? Can I do that? I'm like, you can do anything you want to do. You just can't do it all right now, all at the same time, and expect, you know, the scale to respond, you know, in your favor. And so it's all about managing expectations and, you know, using the right tools for the right outcomes. So food is not your friend. Food is not your, you know, personal device weapon of choice. You know, this isn't where you go to shame and self-sabotage and all those things. You know, food is there to keep you alive. So let's make sure we're putting the right expectations on the right tools, you know, for the right reasons and expecting the right outcomes. If your goal is to eat cookies 10 times a day, the scale is likely not going to go down. I don't care how much you will it and want it. You know, there is some, you know, basic truths around calories in and calories out, but it's which calories and how you feed yourself the right foods in order to accomplish the goals that you want to accomplish. So you have a very interesting story around how you gave up sugar, which I would love to you know, dive into that a little bit, because I think there are some people that are like, she did what now? And why again? So take us through that, because it's a great opportunity to educate people.
Absolutely. So in 2019, I was actually diagnosed with prediabetes. And as a pharmacist, I was kind of horrified, because I'm like, I'm a healthcare professional and I'm telling people like, you need to be healthy. You need to, like, you know, lose weight through diet and exercise. And I was like, oh my God, I can't even practice what I'm preaching. So I decided that I was just going to overturn my entire eating journey and quit sugar. And I did that with tools like hypnosis and a lot of mindful eating, and it was a conscious decision. And I was very lucky in that my partner decided to join me as well. So I had a lot of support from that side, but I did it. I managed to completely overhaul my entire eating journey, and I just stopped eating sugar. And I actually did it in a sustainable way. So it became something that I was rather than something that I didn't eat. And the reason it was so easy is because when I made that decision, I decided that was going to be my identity. So I decided that I was no longer someone who ate sugar. And I think that part of the journey was just really, it seems like it was really hard, because I'm sure if anyone has ever tried to cut out sugar, it's you kind of feel like, oh my gosh, I'm depriving myself. But changing your identity around it and changing the words that you say to yourself is super important. And yeah. I think that's probably the biggest change that came about. Like, I am no longer I'm someone who just doesn't eat sugar. And you'd be surprised how many alternatives there are and how actually fun it is to kind of be a little bit of a rebel and be like, I don't eat that anymore. I don't eat sugar and I have my own things. And yeah, so I think just it was a great journey, and it was definitely something that took a while to get there, especially around the boundaries that you have to set with other people. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely a challenge, but I did make it into a game for myself anyway. And that's actually what inspired me to become a healthy eating coach with gamification, because I just found it so fun. And unlike other times when I tried to change my diet and change what I ate, especially with my environment and everything, I found that making it a game just made me so much like more supercharged and more, I had a lot of more power boosts in my journey because I wasn't actually thinking about, oh my God, what happens if I fail? Oh my God, if I lose today, I'm never going to be able to get back on track. So mm-hmm. Yeah, that really made a big difference.
I'll tell you, I can relate. I have given up sugar at different parts of my life, but I gave up alcohol over 4 years ago now. And I do have alcoholism in my family. I like to say I don't identify as an alcoholic, and that is not making fun of anybody in any kind of capacity, but like that word doesn't seem to fit with me. And I'm still not even sure what that word means, but I definitely don't think I was using it just for joy. I definitely feel like I had used the phrase before, take the edge off, which just felt very triggery for me. And I have alcoholism in my family. So I do believe I'm capable of going there, right? Because it's in my blood. But I can remember just feeling like I didn't have the energy I used to have. I didn't like how I woke up in the morning. I didn't like how I used these weird phrases like taking the edge off, meaning I don't want to feel the feelings I'm having right now, and feeling like that is not solving the issue at all. And I remember I was about 10 days in from giving it up, and I had a work trip to Vegas, of course. So I'm in crazy Las Vegas and I'm at a reception and I'm having either a water or a Diet Coke or something. And one of the guys there that I've worked with for a long time, he's a vice president, said, what do you mean you're not drinking? You're no fun. And I was like, absolutely crushed. That makes me fun. I actually think I'm hilarious 99% of the time. I can make my own fun. I don't need this drink. Plus, it contributed to my weight gain, which then I had to work my tail off to get off. Like, I don't want to do that anymore. I kind of want to like do this weight loss thing once and be done with it. And running's really important to me. It makes me feel like crap to drink, right? Like all these things. But I can remember, you know, just leaving the reception that night, absolutely crushed, cried the entire night in my hotel room. Then I go to the airport the next morning, talking to my husband, bawling my eyes out. I'm like, he said I'm no fun. And then I was like, am I really giving my power away to this guy? Am I crazy? I can't believe that But I can't tell you how many times I can think of three people in particular that have repeatedly asked me why I don't drink and do I have a drinking problem? And I'm like, are you crazy? Why would you ask someone that? You don't ask anybody why they're not having the fish over the steak, or they're having the French fries instead of the vegetables. Do you have like a potato problem? Like, why would you, what a crazy thing to ask somebody. And that in that moment, I immediately reclaimed my power and I made it a cool thing not to drink. And by the way, I do drink. I drink water. I have the occasional juice, Diet Coke, although trying to give that back up. But like, I drink things. I just don't drink alcohol. And I can remember that so clearly, being like, you're crazy. And so to people that are thinking about giving up sugar or making healthier choices, like, find a way to make it so that it makes you feel more powerful. Because frankly, it's none of their business what you do, how you do it, or why you do it. It's your life and it's your path. And you get to decide what that means to you and how cool or fun or not cool or not fun it is. Mic drop. I might tag him in this and be like, by the way, that was you. And you're not cool. Hilarious.
Yes, I 100% agree. Like, being able to reclaim that power and just, you feel like a million bucks when you set a boundary and you say, this is who I am. And no matter what anyone else says about you, you just feel like, I've made that choice. That's who I am. And I'm going to stick by it. And if you don't like it, that's not my problem anymore. And I think that's something that's really difficult to get through. But it, once you get used to it, and once it's almost like you've got a shield around you. And I love talking about in terms of like shields and weapons, because you've got a shield around you that no one can really break through unless you let them. Mm-hmm. And strengthening that shield is one of those ways that you can just reclaim that joy of being who you are. And just, you get to decide what your shield is made of and how strong it is. And that's just something that no one can take away from you.
Amen to that, girl. Let me make sure, because I will forget, that I call out to folks that you have a Facebook group you want to promote and encourage them to join, called Cracking the Consistency Code. Do I have that right?
That's right.
Tell us a little bit more about the group. What goes on inside the group? What could people learn if they join?
Yeah, absolutely. So the group is pretty standard in terms of what it does. It's there for consistency. It's like your personal accountability group. It's free to join. There's no like hidden agenda or anything like that. I do give a lot of like side quests if people want them. So we have a little bit of challenges in there, and you just find a lot of people who are like-minded and working on their health. It doesn't necessarily have to be healthy eating. A lot of the posts I put up are a little bit targeted around healthy eating, but I welcome anyone who has a health goal in there, because everyone is on their own journey. And I really believe sometimes consistency is the thing that is really hard to get right. And consistency looks different for everyone. So having just somewhere you can record what you are doing and have support and people cheering you on, that really can help. So check it out. And it's really fun. Like that my aim for this group is just to make it really fun and make consistency a traditionally very boring thing, something fun and something you can just have a little bit of a laugh about. It's definitely worth going in there, and just, you'll find all sorts of crazy, fun, weird things there.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that. I'm curious what you would say is your number one piece of advice for achieving health.
Start small and be consistent. I know that does not sound that fun, but when you start small and when you actually are consistent, you start seeing massive wins on a daily basis. And really, that is the key to success. If you can find a way to win every single day, you're gonna continue on that journey. Mm-hmm. So I find that like my favorite thing is just finding a mini habit. So something that is so ridiculously small that the idea of not doing it is like, what? Really? I didn't do that today. So my favorite one is like, for example, in my own life is one push-up. If I do one push-up, I feel like $1 million because I'm like, I have just achieved my goal for the day. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but the idea is once you do one of something, you generally continue in that vein. And so I might say one push-up and then I might do like 30 because I'm already in the position. I've already got the equipment. I mean, my body, but still, like if your goal is something different. and that works with anything. So if, for example, I've in the past had eat mindfully for 1 minute with no distractions. And what ends up happening is my whole meal is mindful because I've already gotten rid of all the distractions. I'm in an environment where I feel comfortable and not pressured to eat with distractions, which can sometimes be the case, like especially when you're in a social setting, you do sometimes feel like the conversation is more important than your food. And that's fine. Socially, that is actually really important as well. But it is okay to have moments where you're just focusing on your food. And actually, I have a really cool story about this where we went to a restaurant and I had three friends with me and we literally sat in silence for half an hour because the food was so good. And that's my level of like, that's my level of, you know, my dream level where I'm like in a social setting, we're all enjoying food together, but we're eating really mindfully. And I know it sounds a bit weird, but it's just one of those things that always comes to mind. Exactly.
Awesome. I always tell people the first thing I say is identify your non-negotiables. That if I told you you could never have it again, you'd be like, well, I give up because I'm going to fail because I have to have it. And for some people, that could be, you know, the creamer in their coffee. Other people, it could be ice cream. Like, but let's figure out the thing that you absolutely feel like you cannot deal and live without. And sometimes there's more than one, but try to focus on one. And build the rest of your day around that so that you don't ever feel like you're missing out. Now, should you plow through a pizza every Friday and Saturday night? No, but could you incorporate a couple of slices and still feel really good about your day? Yes. And so it's like, let's just be realistic that this is a marathon and not a sprint. This is a lifestyle. This is so that you can live longer and healthier and happier and run around after, you know, your daughter, which let me tell you, there will be a lot of running in your future. But like just understanding that, like, if you're in it for the quick win, you're playing the wrong game. And I tell that to clients all the time. I have no interest in helping you lose 10 pounds before you go on vacation. That's because then you're going to call me 2 weeks after your vacation, trying to lose the same weight again, and then some. And that's no fun for me. There's no satisfaction in that either. And, you know, you're just reinforcing the same bad habits. So I always say, identify your non-negotiables up front, get that locked in, and then we can work on some of the more complicated things. But that's like an immediate win to me. When my son was losing weight during COVID, he just wasn't that active. And his big thing was ice cream. And he eats like a thing of ice cream every night at 9 o'clock. And I was like, okay, could we get like a slightly smaller size and maybe not have it at 9? And, you know, it was fine, but he ended up losing 35 pounds and now he is completely ripped in the best shape of his life and, you know, and thriving in all ways. So, you know, feeling that win, like there's some control over your choices, is really important. I'm sure you find the same with your clients.
Yeah, 100% I do. And I really like what you said about your non-negotiables, because I think having that sense of deprivation in any eating journey is just so dangerous. That's pretty much the thing that can determine whether you succeed or fail, because what I found with my clients and in my own journey is if having that deprivation, actually makes you just spiral in different ways. You might say, oh, okay, I'm not going to eat any junk food. And then you might find yourself eating like a whole bunch of things that you wouldn't normally eat because you're trying to compensate for the fact that you're not allowed to have things. So I 100% agree with you when you said, like, find your non-negotiables, because if you, like, that's why it's so individualized, right? 80% of it is what you eat in terms of, especially around weight loss, 80% of it is what you eat. And you have to enjoy what you eat. If you're not enjoying it, like I said before, it's not something you can cut out. You can't just stop eating completely. So really, we have to find a way to make that enjoyable. And yeah, I 100%, I'm just so resonating with what you said on that one. Because even with me, like in my journey, I had the same thing with ice cream, but I just found alternatives. I found that actually the first week, I remember feeling super happy because I wasn't depriving myself of ice cream. And then that desire to eat it just went away. And I found alternatives that gave me the same boost but didn't have sugar. And it was just a complete game changer having that mentality over, oh my gosh, I can't eat this. Like, I have to like cut it out. I have to, you know, when I go out, I have to watch people eat it and I can't have any. So yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one.
I love it. What food habits bring you joy?
Eating. I do love my eating.
This movement here. I'm listening on the podcast network. I'm pretending like I've bite of food and I'm putting it in my mouth.
So I actually really enjoy trying new recipes. So that's a food habit I have always had. I love baking. I love cooking. But for me, it's been something that I have to do my whole life. My family was vegetarian and in a very strict way. And so I had to start adapting recipes. And for me, that's like an experiment. I love experimenting. And so trying new recipes and having to adapt it to a particular eating style, it's a challenge. So I think that's one of those food habits that really brings me a lot of joy, because I'm like, ooh, how can I adjust this? How can I like make it so that everyone can eat it and it still tastes delicious, but it has like really good nutritional content? And so it's just, it's a challenge. It's like, it's really fun. I think, yeah, that's just,
I love that. Well, there's so many great options out there today. When I first developed my gluten allergy, which was probably almost 20 years ago at this point, the bread that I had access to, there was like one gluten-free bread, and trying to put peanut butter on that, it would like immediately crumble into like 1,000 pieces, and being like, this isn't worth it. This is awful. This thing is like a brick. And, you know, it's come so far, and there's gluten-free everything. And I also have a soy, dairy, and grain allergy. And so I am so much fun at restaurants, but I find that I have so many more options. And if people would just take a step back and say, you know, and just like you're talking about with like being in a vegetarian household, like you have to make adjustments and stuff. But when you communicate that up front, it's really easy to navigate. It's don't put, you know, sauces and oils on my food because I can't have it, you know, or if you could just use this instead of that, I'd be able to eat it. And it's eating on like the outside aisles of the grocery store, which is where all the fresh food is anyway, that is the easiest to digest. But I get so many people that say like, well, I'm in the car all the time. And I'm like, McDonald's serves salads. They're not the best salads, by the way, but they do have salads. So I get it. But you know how many salads I've eaten without utensils because I've been driving? Like many. It's not pretty, but my goals were important to me. And so I did it. And so it's also just, you know, kind of looking your excuses straight in the face and saying like, the reality is I just don't really want to do this.
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
I 100% agree. I think one of the things that really hit me when I was going through my journey, and something I really stress to all my clients, is if you were a baby, would you like it if someone just fed you what they could find on, you know, on the road, or would you want them to be prepared? You want them to be prepared. You don't see mothers go out, and I can attest to this as a new mother, like you have to prepare stuff for your baby. You can't just leave them without, right, with no food. They do not like that.
It does not go over well.
No. So you treat yourself like a baby. Treat yourself like you are the most precious thing in the world. And what you eat matters. Like, you be prepared. And so, yeah. And yeah, that really changed my perspective. And every time I tell that to my clients, I always get a, oh my gosh, I never looked at it that way. Yeah, because that's, you're treating yourself at the moment. Like, when people say things like that, when you, like you just said, where I'm driving and I just wanted something quick and easy. Yes, but how are you treating yourself? You're treating yourself poorly in that situation, even though you are the most important person in the room, especially when you're in a car by yourself. You are definitely the most important person in the room.
But so, it's like reminding them that they still have their own identity.
Yeah.
You know, I'll talk to clients and I'm like, do you realize you still matter? And if we put you at the top of the priority list, all this other stuff gets done and actually gets done better. And yes, they never realize that until they try it one day and they're like, wow, I feel better about myself. I'm like, I know, that's because you just poured a little bit of love into yourself. And imagine if we did that all day, every day.
Yeah. It's like a whole new concept right now. Well, not new, but like, it's a very common concept of like body love and self-love. And I think that really comes down to exactly what you just said. Like, you have to put yourself first. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean being self-centered or, you know, not caring about other people, but you have so much more energy to give if you are at the top of your priority list. You take care of yourself. And yep, that is important in every aspect. It's important when you look in the mirror, but it's also important when you're deciding what you put in your food, like in your body.
Yep.
And that's the way you show up and people resonate with that. So yeah, that's so, just so important. Yeah.
All right. Three quick tips. What are we going to tell people? And oh, you know what? Before we do three quick tips, I cannot forget to share your website. And I was pushing something on your website. Oh gosh, I forgot. Oh, this is where they can go to learn about your, is it your course?
It's not a course. It's just my coaching, but I also have, no, that's okay. I have free cheat codes on there, and it's cheat, like eat codes. You'll see when you actually get there. It's not easy to explain, but that's just some ways that you can really supercharge your eating journey. And they're just like five actionable things. You've got, you can use them in any way you want, in any goal you want, but the ones that I've got on there are very specific to healthy eating. Because I know that healthy eating is one of those things that if you make the smallest tweak, it can just change your journey completely. So yeah, absolutely, check that out there. Yeah.
Yep. SandhiaGokul.com.au. So thank you for that. And we'll also have that in the show notes. Three quick things that, you know, you would recommend to somebody who just feels lost and they don't quite know where to get started.
Okay. So the first thing is find the smallest version of your goal and put that into practice every single day. And if you feel like you're laughing at yourself because it's so ridiculous, that's the right goal. You need to do that one. So that's the first one. The second one is if you can make your purpose higher than just yourself, that can really supercharge your journey. So for example, my reason for being healthy is almost exactly what you said earlier, where I really want to be able to run after my daughter and be her sidekick in all her shenanigans. So I really need to be healthy to do that. Mm-hmm. So make, if you can attach your purpose for being healthy to something that's bigger than yourself, and even just one other person in your life, then that really can move you forward in a direction that you would not be able to even recognize yourself in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And the third one is find the elements that you really like in games and attach that to your journey. For example, make a star chart. That's the easiest thing you can do. There are tons of versions out there. And seeing that gold star can sometimes just be like, I feel like I've won today. So that's definitely the third one. I will also say on my website, I have a quiz. If you're not sure like what your fun style is, I have a quiz that shows you what your fun style is and gives you actual actionable tips on how to use that fun style in your healthy eating journey. So definitely check that out as well if you if you're struggling to figure out what kind of games you like.
I love it. The fun style. Might check it out just to see if I agree with what you think my fun style is. I'm sure there's a piece of it I need to dust off. But Sandhya, this was a really great conversation. So much fun. Thank you for joining today. I know it's early your time, so I really appreciate your flexibility in scheduling this and coming on today.
No worries. It was such a privilege. Thank you, Colleen.
Thank you. And that was our latest episode of Joy Unleashed. Be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. Well, that conversation with Sandhya was so much fun. I don't know about you, but to gamify such a personal topic as, you know, nutrition and healthy eating, the idea of making that fun and not putting yourself in a scarcity mindset, not in a lack or a restriction or can't have, shouldn't have, this will cause this to me, right? Removing all of that and reminding yourself that everything was fun as a kid. So how do we tap back into that energy and make this fun as we live our best lives? Think about it today. Thank you for tuning in to Joy Unleashed. As always, it's my honor to be your host and joyologist, Colleen Greco. Follow me at The Colleen Greco on Instagram for daily motivation and inspiration. And don't forget to leave my show a review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, sisters.